Thank you so much for having us here. As we were singing that last song, there's two men in this congregation that were in the church that I was in when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior back in October of 1981. So it's a privilege to be here with them and to worship with them and minister to them. Thank you again for having us. I'm going to introduce my wife, Nancy. Stand up, Nancy. My son, Lyle. And Lyle's 13. Nancy's my wife. You may see seated. And I have a daughter. It's going to be a good trip home. And I have a 21-year-old daughter at Pensacola Christian College who's working on her graduate degree in English education. And praise the Lord. Both my children right now are looking to head to the mission field. My daughter wants to work in translation work, and Lyle wants to fly the new airplane that we're going to be getting. So that's a good thing. If you would turn in your Bible this morning to Nehemiah, and we'll be looking at Nehemiah, man of God, a man of prayer, and there'll be some applications in here for all of us. Whatever your stage is in your Christian life, or maybe if you're not a Christian today, you need to think about taking care of that. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 says this, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislev in the 20th year as I was in Shushan the palace that Hanani, one of my brethren came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant who are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates are burned with fire." Let's stop right there for the moment, and then let's just run over some history here. How did the Jewish nation come about, and how did they get into this place where they're at in this portion of Nehemiah? About 2,000 years B.C., Abraham was chosen by God to be the father of the Jewish nation. After another 1,000 years, Saul, David, and Solomon were kings, and Israel was a world power. After Solomon died, we read in the Old Testament that the nation was split. Northern kingdom called Israel, the southern kingdom called Judah. What happened? In 1 Kings 11:11 says, "Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as you done this, this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I've commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and give it unto thy servant." Well, why did that happen? Well, Solomon went after other gods. Solomon did not follow God's word, did not follow his statutes. The Assyrians invaded the northern 10 tribes called Israel, and they were taken away captive. Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem and all of Judea, and took the rest of the people captive. 2 Chronicles 36:18 and 19 says this, "And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, all the treasures of the house of the Lord, all the treasures of the king and of the princes, and all these they brought into Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and they broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that escaped from the sword carried away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia." And that's where we are right here. Nehemiah is in Shushan the palace in Persia. A little bit before this, Zerubbabel went back into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. The temple was built. 8 years later, Ezra the scribe went and there was a great revival. They started the worship in the temple again, brought sweeping reforms throughout the people. But it died off fairly quickly. By this time, 13 years later, Nehemiah hears their condition. And that's where we're at in Nehemiah. Let's back up again to verse 1. "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace." Now, God gives us never too much information. He gives us just what we need. Why did he give us the month? Kislev. That month falls in our particular calendar time frame, November, December. That's going to be important as we go down through this. Verse 2, we see the inquiry. What's going on? Nehemiah was concerned about his people. He was concerned about his country. And then he hears the news in verse 3. It says, they were in great affliction and a reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for this man, Nehemiah, who was called a man of prayer, who is seen praying 11 times in the book of Nehemiah. Father, I pray that we would learn, if nothing else from that, that we would be men and women, young men, young women, boys and girls of prayer, trusting in Almighty God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It is interesting to see here that they're in a great affliction, their reproach, their testimony, what people see them as, is not good. The walls are broken down. The temple is there. The temple is rebuilt, but they're ignoring it. They're not worshiping there anymore. And I want you to remember that as born-again believers, we are the temple of the living God. Let's go on to verse 4, and we're going to see that the first time that Nehemiah prays, and it came to pass, verse 4, I heard these words, and I sat down. What did he hear? He heard that the walls were broken down. The gates were burned with fire. The place that God chose to be worshipped was a wreck. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and I wept and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Right there's a challenge to us. When was the last time you fasted and prayed? When was the last time you sat down and you wept and you mourned for the sin or the salvation of a loved one or a friend? As I shared this morning in Sunday school, one-third of the world lives in unreached places of the world. They don't have the gospel. They don't have the word of God in their language. They don't know the truth. They don't have any light. They live in darkness. We see here that Nehemiah had a heart of compassion. And says, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awe-inspiring God, who keepeth covenant and mercy for them who love him and observe his commandments. You know, it's one thing to pray, but it's another thing to pray to this God that we read about right here. Someone who has the greatness, the awe-inspiringness of our Creator. My wife and I are from Livingston County. We were born and raised here. She was in Hamburg. I was in Brighton. We graduated from Brighton, her from Pinckney. And that's all right. I still love her. But we're homegrown here. And we do come back to Michigan to visit churches in October for a reason. It's beautiful here. You see the hand of God on each one of these trees around here. He made each one of those. And he made all of us for a reason. We see here that Nehemiah says, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awe-inspiring God, who keepeth covenant and mercy. You know, he made promises to us. And he will not break those promises. He will be faithful to us, as he says in the word. Verse 6, let thine ear now be attentive that mine eyes open and thou, excuse me, let me read that again. Got to get my glasses in the right spot. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants. And confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. You know, Nehemiah has a compassion. He wept, he mourned, he fasted, he prayed. But he wasn't like that Pharisee in the New Testament when he prayed. Oh, I'm so good. I'm not like this poor old tax collector here. I'm not a publican. I'm so glad I'm a Pharisee that I can read the word of God and be your servant. And Nehemiah wasn't like that. He says, both I and my father's house have sinned. We're all sinners. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved by His grace, not any merit of our own. But Nehemiah's response to the news was that he had compassion, he prayed, and he prayed to God in a humble spirit. Who do you go and tell your needs to? In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto your wife, your husband, your church, your friends, your neighbors." No. It says, "Let your requests be known, be made known unto God." That's the first place we need to go. Now, I'm not against praying for one another, and that's commanded that we do lift each other up before the Lord. But our first place, our first source of strength and request be made known unto our God of heaven. And that's what Nehemiah did. We see that he had dependence on God there in verse 5 and verse 6. He trusted the promises that were there. Let's read on in verse 7. It says, "We have dealt very corruptly against thee." Remember back in verse 6 at the end, it says, "Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if he transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the peoples." That's where they're at. They're there. The scattering has taken place. And they are amongst the nations of the world. Verse 9. "But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them." Now remember, he's praying to God, one who keeps covenant and is full of mercy. He's saying, "But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from there and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name." And you take a look at that little phrase, those two-word phrase, "the place." Throughout the Old Testament, that's the place that God chooses to be worshipped. And the place he's talking about now is Jerusalem. And in the temple, that's the place where they are to worship God. Verse 10 says, "Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who delight to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. Grant me him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer." This is the prayer of Nehemiah 4 through 11. And we stopped and made some comments throughout the way, but we see that he was dependent on God. He trusted God. He was patient with God. How long did he pray this prayer? He says, "I pray thee," at the end of verse 11, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy. Grant me, Nehemiah, mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. He wanted mercy in the sight of the king. And we're going to see that. We're going to see that in a little bit. Now, being the king's cupbearer was a man of integrity. It was a position of influence. The king just didn't put anybody there. Let's go on to chapter 2. "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that I was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence." This is not a good thing for a sad cupbearer. How would you like to have a sad cupbearer? Just took the cup of wine and is given to you, and he's sad. That's not a good thing. It would make a king nervous, right? Because he's there to filter out any attempts on his life. But now we have a sad cupbearer. But we also have a cupbearer and a king that has a relationship. The king knew his cupbearer. And the cupbearer knew his king. We're going to get to that in a minute. But remember in chapter 1, verse 1, a month was given to us. And now in chapter 2, verse 1, we have another month, Nisan, given to us. And that is the month between March and April. And do the math, that's about 4 months from chapter 1, verse 1. All his prayers, all his inquiry of what's going on in Jerusalem to now, right now in this book. Let's go on. Now I had not been sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art sick? Because the king looked up and said, he's sad, but he's still standing, so he's not being poisoned. This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. Now, if you remember, going into the presence of a king in that time, it was something. You just didn't waltz in. Remember Esther? Esther had to go in without the blessing of the king, and she took her life in her own hand to walk into the presence of the king, because you just don't walk in unless you're invited in. And now this king, he's in the presence of him, doing his task, his job. And now the king sees, what's wrong with you? You're sad. And then I was very much afraid. Verse 3, it says, Then said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city and the place of my father's sepulchers lieth waste, and its gates are consumed with fire? Wow. He had that invitation to speak, and he spoke his heart. Then the king said, verse 4, unto me, for what dost thou make request? What did Nehemiah do? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Now, what kind of prayer was that? That wasn't like a long prayer that he's been praying and weeping and fasting and praying for a long period of time. This is an I-96 prayer when it's icy, okay? This is something quick. Lord, help me right now. And God will do that. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. Let's just stop right here. And let's think about what God has asked us to do. And I read the verse this morning in Acts 1:8. That we've received power from the Holy Spirit. Now he has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Boy, that was a really slum gummy verse 1:8, Acts 1:8. That was coming out of the Gospels too, didn't it? Either way, we have the commandment over and over and over in the four Gospels and again in Acts that we need to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Okay? God has given us the command. God is going to give us the Holy Spirit to empower us. He's going to provide for us, and he's going to make the way for us. Whether you're 30-some years of age when you go to Bible school, we're a lot older than that now that we've been down in Florida for 15 and a half years, whether you start at 40, 50, we've been reading books, missionary books, as we travel around. It's a whole lot better than sleeping. Well, at least my wife sleeps. I don't sleep when we drive. She reads to me. I love it. And we read a missionary story. A lady started off to the field when she was 65 years old. And she retired when she went to heaven at age 85. It's never too late to get into God's plan of reaching the world with Jesus Christ. And now let's take a look at what happened with Nehemiah. He asked God, what can I do? Lord, verse 1, that long prayer. And now he has an opportunity to speak to the king. God, give me words to say. And he says, I want to go back and build the city of my father's sepulchres. And the king said unto him, unto me, the queen was also sitting with him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me. And I sent him a time. Verse 7, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me unto the governors beyond the river, that they may let me pass through till I come unto Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which is near unto the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter. And the king granted me according to his good hand, because he was a nice guy. No. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God that was upon me. Nehemiah knew that God was behind this whole setup. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of help and need. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Isn't that great? according to the power that works in us. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Read this earlier. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, as we take a look at world evangelism, God has asked all of us to be a part of it. Missions. The acronym for missions is this. My involvement. Saving souls in other nations. Got that? My involvement, saving souls in other nations. Missions. That's what it's all about. How are you involved? I challenge you to get involved today. We see Nehemiah, man of God, man of prayer. We see in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, God arranging the meeting. In verse 3, we see Nehemiah's petition. And then we see God's protection now starting out here in verse 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Now, did he ask for that? We don't have record that he asked for that. Did God know that he needed that kind of protection? He did. He's an all-knowing God. And so he, the king, sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Why is that? Why is that? 2 Timothy says this in chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay? I'd like to tell you, it's going to be a bed of roses out there serving God. But it's not. We have an enemy. And here's Nehemiah's enemy right here. Chapter 2, verse 10 says, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Amorite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that they were come, that there had come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Not much has changed over the years, has it? Our country has traditionally been the only ally or only friend to Israel in the world. If you ever get a chance to go to Israel, to the Holy Land, it will change your life. You are walking on the ground that Jesus walked on. I thought, that's no big deal. I mean, I can imagine that. Yeah, I know Jesus was literally a man. He walked on the streets of Jerusalem. But until you get into that country, and when you get into that country, it is going to be like a welcome you never received before because they know you're an American and you're going to get given a flower. You're going to get a welcome packet. They're going to say they love you. That doesn't happen in other countries. Go to another country and say you're an American. And I will draw the conclusion between that because we are an ally and friend of Israel. Other countries do not like us. Is that a fact? Watch the news. I got it free. But as we see here, Nehemiah had an enemy in Sanballat and Tobiah simply because a man came to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and I was there 3 days. And it talks about through verse 12 that he went up and he checked out the whole situation there. Jerusalem was in ruins. The temple had been rebuilt, but the walls are a mess. What's going to happen? Well, Nehemiah is basic leadership 101. This man came in, took a look at what happened. God gave him the vision, the need of the work that needed to be done. He provided for him, and he protected him. Can we do the same thing? Whether it's going out and knocking on a neighbor's door and with the purpose of sharing the gospel, or sharing the gospel any place, maybe in junior church, in Sunday school, visitation with parents of these children that the parents don't come to church. Anyway, can God go with you and protect you? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. God's protection, we see that. Verse 13, he says, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the jackals well unto the dung gate, and to view the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates that were consumed with fire. And then I went up to the gate of the fountain of the king's pool. He goes on and on. He saw all these things. It was a wreck. And then in verse 16, it says, the rulers knew not where I went and what I did, neither had I yet told them. told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest who did the work. Verse 17, then said I unto them, ye see the distress we are in. Now remember, Nehemiah wasn't this pious person that says, hey, you know, you got a mess here. You guys need to clean it up. Let's do this. Look, we are in this together. I am also an Israelite, a Jew. We are. You see the distress we are in and how Jerusalem lieth waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Let's clean this place up. Our testimony is a wreck. He had confidence in God, of what God was going to do. He had a vision for what God could do. He was grounded in the truth. What are we like? Are we like a Nehemiah who sees the vision of what God is, who he is, and what he can do, and what he can do through us? Or are we like Jerusalem? Now, Jerusalem was the place where God chose to worship, the place where the Holy Spirit came down. We're believers. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We're the temple of the living God, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you're the temple of God? But are our walls broken down? Is the world able to come in and out of our worship area? Are we defenseless? 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the armor of God. Do you know the parts of the armor? I don't want any hands raised. Do you know how many there are? That's a challenge. There's six. And it's all stuff that God gives to us. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the helmet, the shield, the sword, all of that comes by faith in God. But we need to put it on by faith and prayer. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 18 says, then I told them of the hand of God which was upon me, and also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. Where are we at, church? Where are we at, individual? You make up the church. If we're a reproach to God like the city of Jerusalem, with our walls broken down, the world can't see God through all the trash. Now, the walls that we're talking about building up here are not walls to keep people out, but it's walls to keep your worship pure and keep yourselves pure and separated from the world. You picture Jerusalem, the gates were open during the day. People could come and go. That's where God was at, and that's where God was worshipped. So they strengthen our hands for this great work. What could we do if we gave ourselves wholly over to God and God's work? What could we not do? Let's ask that question. There's nothing we couldn't do. I trust today that your walls are up, that you're spiritually sound, and you're serving the Lord right where God has you. Nehemiah was a man of vision, a man of prayer, and a man of God. If you don't know Jesus Christ, then you fall into the camp of Sanballat and Tobiah, your enemies of God. They didn't have anything to do with this. If you read down in verses 19 and 20 there, it says that they were despised. They had no part of this because they weren't part of God's chosen people. Well, what could we do or what could we not accomplish? Great things for God if we walked in prayer and dependence on God like Nehemiah did. You know, in chapter 6, it tells us it only took them 52 days to build the wall because they had a mind to work, a mind to follow a godly leader, a mind to walk in the Spirit of God. I challenge you this day that you check where you're at in your walk with the Lord. Get back to a close walk with Him if you're not there. Be a Nehemiah and encourage others to build up their wall and walk with God, because we are the place where God wants to worship. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you again for this time that we can just share your word. I pray that this morning that if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, that they would say, yes, I want you, Jesus Christ. And that by faith, they would accept that free gift of eternal life. Christian, I pray that today that you would want to walk close to Him, because you are the temple of the living God. Pray that we would all be a good example, good ambassador, good witnesses for Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.